Well, happy Friday, everyone. You have tuned in once again to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, or FDN Support Call, whatever you want to call it. It's FDN coming at you every week on Friday, 1 o'clock Central Time, talking about all things FDN. That's functional diagnostic nutrition, if that's wherever you're at in the course. If you are a trainee, you're moving through the course right now, we want to help you to do that. We want to support you there. If you're a graduate, you need some help with something that's going on now, we want to support you there. Or, hey, if you're thinking about signing up and becoming an FDN practitioner, happy to answer questions. There's a hopefully with this call today, you get a feel for what FDN is. I am your host, Brandon Molay, FDN practitioner, mentor, medical director, consultant for the labs that you guys run. And my co-host with me is Brendan Vermeier, and he's falling in the same group as me. So as mentor and consults for the medical director program, clinical advisor, has his own successful business, and I do too. So we're both knee-deep, or neck-deep, I guess I should say, in FDN all the time. We love coming to you guys each week and connecting with you. So I'll just say hey to my co-host here. Brendan, man, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. It's been quite the week, but, you know, just breathing through it like a yoga practice, so it's all good.
We were talking about that earlier this week, you and I were, and then before the call here, just how busy things have been lately, it seems like. Hopefully that's the case for you guys with your businesses. So there's some, you know, there's peaks and valleys and ups and downs there when with business, with new clients and things going on. And right now we both are feeling a surge of new clients and new people to work with, and that's an awesome thing. But you also have to balance that out. So lots of things going on. It's great to do that, but you've got to maintain your own self-care and do something that is sustainable. So it's a good thing. It's good to be busy, have things to do, but always take care of yourself. Take those breaks when you need to during the day, on the weekend, or little getaways. It's important to do that. So be sustainable, but also let the excitement of what's going on fuel you. It doesn't have to be a stressful thing. It doesn't have to be I'm worried about stuff and I don't know what if I can get this done. There's a self-doubt. Turn that fear and that nervousness there into excitement. Let that fuel you throughout your week and what you're doing. Think about what you're accomplishing and what your purpose is here. So it's a big thing. We get into some deep stuff on this call. We talk about a lot about purpose and the effect we're having on people's lives, because we are changing lives with what we're doing with FDN. You can't affect somebody's health in a positive way and not have a change in the rest of their lives. That's just the nature of it. Anyway, it's had a health story or a struggle, and most people have come through this course have had one. You know, it was messing with all your life, all aspects of your life. And once your health got better, most of your life hopefully got better along with that. All right, well, just real quick, it is August 2nd, 2019, so you know. The timestamp there, we record this call. It goes live, of course, every Friday, but we record this call also. So you can check it out in the archives. If you are missing this call, you can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can go to FDNconnect.com. Show notes are in there. So there's the call if you miss, especially if you're a graduate and we get your name read off every single week when we graduate names off. Listen to that or just search it, something you're looking for. Maybe we've covered that topic on a call. So, and on that note, if you want to call in on this live call or if you're on the switchboard now, you can ask us a question. You can make a comment. You can help answer one of the questions that it is asked. We like that too. So any kind of participation from our listeners, we'd love to have that. So that number to call in and to talk with us, make a comment, is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And then hit 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know that you want to come on, and I'll bring you on and tell us who you are and where you're at, maybe in the course or the process, you're a graduate or a trainee or somebody looking at the course, and then ask your question, and we'll do our best to help support you and answer you. All right. Well, we've got a few announcements, not too many today. We do have some graduates that we want to congratulate. But, Brendan, maybe go to you first with a little bit of AFDNP update.
Yeah, another successful week in the world of AFDNP. We had an awesome webinar with Kendra Perry the other night. She came on to talk about her HTMA course. She did the beta launch earlier this year. I was part of that, although I'll admit I didn't participate because I got busy. But I love Kendra, love all of her material. I was really impressed by her presentation. I always am, but, you know, she keeps making it better and better, which is so cool to see. So she's launching her course, which part of that, guys, the course, she's limiting it to, I believe, 60 people. And she's teaching it live. This is not an evergreen course where, you know, you work through it at your own pace. It's more of a live course that's being conducted, like almost kind of a little, you know, college semester or something like that. I didn't really realize that. So her next course is launching pretty soon. I want to say like August 12th, we'll be sending out all the information for that. But if you didn't see the show, be sure to check it out. It doesn't look like it's archived quite yet, but I'm sure Tia will get that posted here very, very soon. It'll be in the AFTNP clinical training webinar section, which every single time we do a webinar, people always ask, is the recording? Where can I get the recording? It's always in the same place. Go to your AFTNP member area on FTN Connect, and we have all these different pages for the different webinars. So, whew, yeah, hopefully those questions are, you know, finally answered. But she just also sent an email with a discount code. Let me pull that up real quick because she's offering like an extra $100 off coupon thingy for FDNs. Okay, so the code is just HTMA100. That's all lowercase, no spaces, HTMA100. The coupon is available until the 12th. So just thought I'd throw that out there. And then, of course, we have our AFTNP weekly emails. So be sure to see those. Those tell you everything going on in the AFTNP, what we just did, what's coming up, what's going on. And then we do the AFTNP Facebook Live every Wednesday. So be sure to check those out. Next week, we have a pro series with Reed Davis. He's coming on to talk about how to stay within your scope of practice as an FDN. We recently had that kind of big thread blow up. I posted the article about that IIN graduate that basically got, you know, busted and got her wrist slapped legally, very unfortunately. And that's really kind of caused a big stir in, you know, the integrative functional world because, you know, practitioners and health coaches and stuff are worried about, you know, running into a similar problem. So everybody wanted to hear what Reed had to say about it. So we're doing that. We're accommodating the request. Reed's coming on next Wednesday. I highly, highly, highly encourage all of you guys to be there, as in, like, you should not miss it, to be honest. We're all one collective consciousness, one community. We're trying to do a lot of good in the world, and we are, but we have to make sure we're, you know, staying within our scope. We're speaking the FDN language, and that's something that I kind of feel like I sort of mastered myself. You know, I feel like I speak the language really well, and it's something I feel very strongly about. And it's like, as long as you're, you know, playing by the rules, speaking the proper language, using the correct verbiage, and protecting yourself, you're not going to get in trouble. You're not doing anything wrong. You're educating, not medicating. You're providing education for self-treatment, not... So this is very important stuff, and I think sometimes we get too loose with it, and that's where problems occur. So be sure to check that out. Learn the language. Speak the proper language so that we can keep pursuing our mission and keep helping people. So be there. But that's about it for AFTNP. I could always blabber on and on, but that's kind of the gist of it.
That's good. I appreciate that. Definitely second Kendra's expertise when it comes to HTMA. She's totally obsessed with that health subject and also how it interconnects with everything else in the body. So training with her on HTMA is going to be something that's going to be woven into everything else you already know. So it fits real nicely into the puzzle. So I really like to use it in conjunction with our base labs at FDN, and helps lead to I think, better results. So I do love HTMA, and so definitely check out that recording. And on the subject of Reed there on the legal side of things, yeah, Reed's great with that. He has a legal background. So he's covered this subject many times. So I don't expect anything new necessarily that I didn't hear when I was first started FDN. But definitely, if you're worried about that, that's a concern for you, you need to address that head on and know precisely what you can do, what you can say. Reed will lay it out very well for you, I'm sure. So I'll defer to him on all of that, but that'll be a great call. So definitely tune in because you never know. Sometimes you think you're doing things like they need to be, but there might be some things you want to think and tweak and adjust with how you do your business or how you speak. So always good to tune into those things. And and I've got a question I want to bring up here in a minute here with the questions. And that question there is talking about, you know, how do we describe what we do to somebody else? And so when you're describing what you do to somebody else, yeah, you want to say it, just you want to be upfront and proper and say things the right way at all times. On your onboarding call, shouldn't sound anything different than your R&R or your coaching sessions. It should all sound the same because you should use the same verbiage all the way throughout. So we'll get into that a little bit here on the call today with that question. I think we'll be thinking about that some. But yeah, good stuff there. And then, of course, you guys know about the FDN conference, which is fast approaching. FDN conference's second one. Well, last year was our sort of 10-year anniversary first conference, and then it went so well, we talked Reed into a second conference. So this is our annual conference now, and it's November 1st through the 3rd, San Diego, California. Hard Rock Hotel is where it'll be this time. We've got a little more room to spread our wings and stretch out and have a few more people there than we had last time. We were pretty much at capacity last conference, so tickets are going fast. I don't have a count here for you about how many are left, but I know that there's limited seating, limited everything with this one. So if you're thinking about coming, you want to go and get your tickets as soon as possible and get your accommodation set up and be there. Just plan for it. So remember, 1st through the 3rd, it is definitely the largest gathering of FDN practitioners all year. You know, we have Paleo FX and some other events that we show up at and have a lot of FDNs, but nothing compares to this. So get together and hang out with all sorts of people, right, FDN practitioners and people that are thinking about taking the course. And then the rock side of this, if you guys want to go to it, you could do it now if you want to. Go to FDNconference.com. That's the website. And you'll see on there all the details, so check that out there and will be coming. But Rock, I want to go through this again. Just, I haven't talked about this in a while. I don't know why, but the ROCK that we decided with the Rock Conference here, that means different things. It's an acronym. So first, R is results. So we learn how to get better results for our clients, for our health, and for our business. O is for opportunities. So explore networking, practical exercises, educational opportunities. Community, of course, that's the big thing, right? So connecting with like-minded people and professionals, exchanging ideas, how to grow your practice. And then the K there is for knowledge. Tap into the collective of the community. Participate in various lectures and conference activities to take your knowledge to the next level. So I love that. That's what we're going to be doing. So we get to connect with FDNs, have a good time, but also the business side. And we're going to have an amazing lineup of speakers. And it's a small enough venue, guys, that you're going to be able to have some pretty close connection with a lot of these speakers that are coming up. So we've got great lineup. Of course, Reed will be there, obviously, but all the mentors will be there, and a lot of our staff will be there as well. So it's going to be awesome. Check it out. You don't want to miss it. It's definitely something I say will take your business and what you're doing to the next level. It does. You get to know the heart of this organization, this company, being part of an event like that. But it always leaves you much better off. You're ready to go. You're going to catapult you to the next level. So if you're feeling stagnant or stale and need to get restarted with your business or it's rocking and rolling, then, hey, you've got something to share with people then. So whatever the reason, come on, make sure you make accommodations and make plans to be with us there November 1st to the 3rd, 2019 in San Diego. All right. Good stuff there. And then we have graduates to talk about, right? So that's a great part of the week. We get to congratulate more people that have completed the FDN course. And we need you guys out there. Need a lot more of us out there working and helping people. Plenty of unwell people out there to help. And you and your personality and your background is important. It's needed. You know, there's lots of people out there, but there's certain people that need to be working with you, with your personality, what you have to offer. Everybody has their group of people that will be attracted to them that you'll work with. So graduate, get out there, put your shingle out, start talking about what you're doing, and you're going to attract those people. And it'll be an amazing journey, I promise. I've been there, done that. Brendan has too, and a whole lot more ahead of you have too. So keep up the good work. We want to say congratulations to these five folks that graduated this week. We have Roxana Khan. She's from Canada. Christer Nieves. He's from Kentucky. I think now he's in the Carolinas. Amira Branch. And she's from Georgia. Mary Ely from Tennessee. And then Suzanne Burton from Ohio. So, hey, we've got our neck of the woods. My neck of the woods being represented here in the southeast quite a bit and just a little bit north of me. So, guys, congratulations. Awesome work, and so proud of you guys. Good, strong group there. Exciting stuff. Keep moving through the course. Do those practicals. Watch your videos, and you'll be there too. And then we'll release you to go help people, but with our support and our backing. So through the Medical Director Program, through AFDMP, through our community, we're going to support you. Obviously, just listen to what Brendan had on the announcements of AFDMP, what that's there for. That's there for your support so you can be successful. It's not just graduates that we want from this course. That, hey, we've got this many graduates. We'd like those many graduates, if you're choosing to be successful in your business and doing well, helping people, making a good living doing that, all those good things. So the tools are there. Just reach out if you need any help. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to some questions now, written in questions we have. And then, again, if you want to ask a question, please jump on and do that. You can hit one on the keypad any time, sooner rather than later, because we spend some time answering each question. So don't wait for the last 5 minutes to ask your question. So do it early on. Number, if you want to call in, is 347-637-1378. And again, hit one on the keypad, we'll bring you on. And hey, we do have a caller, so that's awesome. All right. So I've got 289 area code. What's your name?
Hi, this is Elizabeth. How are you guys doing today?
Well,
hello,
how are you, Elizabeth?
Hello again.
Nice to talk to you guys today. Thanks for the support, as always. Starting Module 12, and I've just scheduled my R&R, so I'm really excited. I have been noticing that Reed talks a lot in the course about the vital void that we might expect from those that are missing gallbladders. And I'm wondering, from your experience, what vital void we might expect to see from those that are missing a prostate?
All right. Cool. Okay. All right. Let's see. So I was about to say gallbladder. That's an easy one. So we can definitely make some recommendations there. So I don't know, prostate, Brendan, you want to take that one first or take a stab at that?
I mean, that's not exactly something that we usually deal with. And, of course, what is there to really be done if somebody's missing a prostate for whatever medical related reason? I can't think of like a functional health related reason of how not having the prostate would really affect them. I'm sure there might be some kind of hormonal signaling, maybe related to like FSH and, you know, sperm counts and stuff like that, but I don't know that I can really think of any thing that would be relevant to what we do as FDN practitioners with working on hidden stressors, to be honest. I don't know.
Great. That was
The
absolute heart of the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where I am at too with that, really. I don't – nothing – necessarily jumps to mind like, oh, this is going to be this way and this is going to be that way, something to do. What can you supplement with specifically? What can you recommend, some sort of exercise or something to do? Nothing's coming to mind immediately on that. I think obviously the whole of FDN is going to help the whole entire body be healthier. So if there's something that is missing, maybe another part of the body, it often happens, another part of the body will try to pick up and make up for a missing organ or a malfunctioning organ or something that's been removed by surgery. So that may be the case with the prostate, but you think two guys here would have a lot of prostate information,
yeah.
But maybe I'm not the age that I think too much about my prostate, but So I would suspect maybe there's some of that going on here. Again, not for sure on that completely. One thing I will say, though, is I know people that have had prostate surgery or cancer, sometimes they're going to be on some medications long-term. So I think maybe keeping in mind the prescription side of things and how that might be affecting
right.
the body, I might think
yeah.
in that direction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I don't know of any, you know, endocrine function that the prostate gland actually, you know, you think gland and you think it must be secreting hormones, but I don't know that it does. I'm sure there is hormonal signaling, but I don't know if that's more efferent or afferent. You know, I know that like follicle stimulating hormone would definitely have an effect on the prostate, but I don't know if the prostate would have an effect elsewhere or having that void. And really its main function is just to produce liquid for sperm and semen and all of that. So, yeah, I don't know that you'd have to worry about that for your practice.
Okay. The one particular person that I'm thinking about has related gynecomastia, which did not come up until the prostate was gone. So it might not be correlated, but it also might. So anyway. Just wanted to see if you guys maybe knew something about that.
I don't know.
Really more specific.
I would think there probably is some kind of link there, but I don't know if it's so much like a cause. Like, I don't think it's, you know, the prostate caused the gyno, but I'm sure, yeah, it's connected just as far as whatever hormonal dysfunction is going on there.
Yeah, okay.
Good thought, though. Brendan, maybe after you get done with your OAT advanced module, maybe one on prostate health.
I'll put it on my to-do list.
right. Okay.
Well, thank you, guys.
Well,
I appreciate
question.
It.
A follow-up to that or anything
else
you want to ask?
No, I think you guys covered it. Thanks.
Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's good. Good question. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Yeah, I maybe think the bigger overarching thing is, I think the line of reasoning there and asking a question like that as she's doing, it's fine to do. And we say, well, let's not be, you know, we don't do specific treatments, we don't think of things in isolation. But I think what she's looking at there is something like that, is there going to be a larger effect? Would it make any kind of difference in the FDM-based protocol that you're doing? Some things might tweak and adjust your protocol slightly, but generally we're doing general health billing, right? So, but it is a good thing to think about. You do want to ask, that's one question you want to ask, and we do on intake forms, you know, have you had any surgeries? What's your health history like? Are you missing any parts? Have you had something irradiated or partially cut out or fully removed? Because that does factor into your recommendations, especially like with gallbladder. There's many things we can do to support the lack of a gallbladder. That's sort of late that it's gone. Too bad it's gone. Maybe it could have been potentially addressed. But if it's missing, then you want to put some things in there that will help with the function there that the gallbladder would normally supply as much as you can. And that's sort of the point of a vital void. We can do only so much with some situations. You know, FDN works for a huge percentage of people that's going to be coming for you, and they're going to get much, much better, and they're going to feel a whole lot better. They're going to be function is going to be restored to many parts of the body, and they're going to be feeling a whole lot better. Sometimes there's more advanced things you need to do, or sometimes refer out to another person or practitioner to do another aspect of something you're not trained in. That's very possible. Or there's just a vital void, something genetically there or missing part of the body, or I don't know if you could throw in external stressors as vital voids if you are in a situation where you have a really bad job, a really bad relationship. Those things, I think, could act as vital voids until they are resolved or something changes within those. That's where we have to be good health detectives and ask a lot of questions and really get down deep into a person's life and see what's going on, anything that might be possibly affecting them that they're not even aware of or can connect it back to their health. So a lot of talking, a lot of conversations. People say, how can you talk for 45 minutes with somebody every 2 weeks? Me personally, that's very easy to fill that time. There's so many things you can do. with the person. So that's good. I think you should think like Elizabeth is thinking there and see where it fits into the big picture. So it's a good question. All right. Well, good. Good start there. Awesome. Brendan, something to add to that?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So, okay. Well, I've got somebody wrote in. It was a clarification from something that, Brendan, you said last week. I think I know the answer to this, but I'll read it off and see if we can clarify something we said last week. It says, hey, I'm listening to the July 26th Friday call. I think it's Brandon. I believe it's Brendan, who talks about how St. John's wort facilitates phase 3 detox. And he talks about how something else inhibits phase 3, and I can't figure out what he said. It sounds like Kirksman. I looked it up and can't find it. So can you help her out there? Can you clarify what you said about detox last week, if you recall? I think I know the answer, but I'll see if I'm right.
So St. John's wort increases phase 3 detox. The big pharma has studied St. John's wort very extensively because it messes with the pharmacokinetics of drugs and pharmaceuticals because of increasing the rate at which the medication is cleared through the liver. Curcumin, good old curcumin that we all love, you know, to fix all the curcumin deficiency in America today for anti-inflammatory stuff. Curcumin actually inhibits phase 3 detox, as does milk thistle. So, you know, milk thistle is very classically used for liver support. But keep in mind, you know, organ like liver support, that doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as detoxification. You know, yes, the liver is obviously the main organ of a detox. So I think milk thistle is a great herb to use to support the liver. You know, it's something I use very regularly if, you know, I see elevated liver enzymes and stuff like that. But if we're specifically trying to increase detoxification of things like hormones and xenobiotics and all that kind of stuff, well, then actually it might be a little bit counterproductive. So if you're trying to enhance detoxification, St. John's wort is something you could consider. Please keep in mind, it is very powerful, and it's also typically used as an antidepressant. It has a lot of serotonergic effects. So, you know, you just want to be mindful of what else that might be doing with its different functions. But, yeah, if you're trying to increase detox, maybe don't use the curcumin. Maybe don't use the milk thistle. That's about the gist of it.
Cool. All right, I got it. Score one for me. Curcumin, yes. C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, I believe. That's a derivative of turmeric. So, cool stuff. All right, excellent. Thanks for clarifying there. Okay, awesome. So, next one here I want to bring up. I alluded to this in the beginning. So, this person asks, how do you describe what you will be doing, how will you be treating clients as an FDNP? I'm struggling to explain this to my mother and a few others, and I keep hearing, so you'll be like a naturopath without the doctor license? Or, so some kind of personal trainer? Fun. All right. Well, this will kind of dovetail into what Reed will be talking about there with how we can talk about what we do and what we don't do. But I think just first of all, we'll talk about terminology and wording. So this is off of the trainee page. These are people that are in training. You're learning, right? So first of all, how will you be treating clients? So first thing right there, terminology-wise, that's not a phrase that we probably want to use. Now, it's probably one you want to avoid using. There's better things that we could say with that, right? So anything that sort of smacks of the medical world, that side of things, so prescribing or diagnosing or treating or curing, those things, real specific treatments, those are phrases to avoid using. So first of all, right there, I think you come into that call. So I guess let me back up a little bit here. So I'm going to say that when you'll be talking about what you do, it's going to be either in some sort of on your website maybe a video that you're doing, if you're just having a conversation with the person that you've met or a connection you have there, or an onboarding call. So these are times that you're going to be probably talking about what you do as an FDM practitioner, explaining to people what an FDM practitioner is. And, of course, you'll be laying down some of those principles during your coaching sessions also. So it's good to go ahead and practice and have your sort of your spiel down of what you do. So I think everybody should go ahead and try to write down what they do. Now, if this person, this trainee, hasn't been to your onboarding practical yet, you've completed that, I don't think this person has yet, that'll be a great place for you to go ahead and write those things out and test it and try it. You get to bring on a client. You get to do sort of a sales call with the person. So initial consultation, discovery call, free consult, whatever you want to call it. It's one of the practicals that you'll do. And so when you go through that process, you will get feedback from the mentor on that. So whoever you do that with, they'll probably correct some things if there is something that needs to be corrected. Reed talks a lot about terminology there in the course. And so I don't hear too many onboarding calls where people are using the incorrect terminology. So I think we've got a good training in the video there in the course, talking about what to say, what not to say, and sort of how to describe what you do as a practitioner. If you are unlicensed, now if you're licensed, it's a different story, right? But generally, most FTNs are unlicensed there. Just a couple things I like to talk about as far as what I do as an FTN practitioner. One thing I like to talk about is just the diligence of the philosophy, the difference in what we do as more of a functional medicine or an alternative or a natural approach versus a more medical approach, right? So I think it's fine to compare and contrast what you do, because if that person you're talking to is not lining up with you as far as the philosophy, you probably don't want to work with that person. It's probably not a good fit for you. So you want to make sure that person agrees with the way that you're going to address their health. So first of all, and generally, most people that come to you have some idea of what you do anyhow or sort of bent that direction, so it's not really that big of a deal, but sometimes it can be. So you want to make sure that you talk about how you work versus how a medical doctor will work. I think, first of all, you do it in a respectful way. That's not disparaging. I think it's just facts. So a medical model, typically, it's going to be more allopathic medicine. It's going to be the goal is to typically is to diagnose and to put a name to something that you're dealing with. So a recommendation can be made, a lot of times a prescription, sometimes over-the-counter medication, to typically cover up the symptom. So to turn off the check engine light, to disconnect that wire, to shut the body up because the body's talking to you symptom-wise. And there definitely is a time and place for some of that. But if that's your end goal and that's all that you want to do, then you're probably not a good fit for working with an FDM practitioner. Because our goal is to go a step further and say, well, why is the body presenting this way? Why does it have this symptom? Why do you have a headache? Why do you have a skin condition? Why do you not sleep well? Why is your energy poor? That's the next question. So getting deeper and trying to figure out what root causes, what malfunctions are going on in the body, that's our job as health detectives. We go to that level. So if that's something that interests you, then I think we could probably work together. So I'll check to make sure that, first of all, we agree philosophically in the approach to things. First thing I want to think about there as far as what we do. So, and you really probably do have to explain a little more in depth what you do, what you are. You could probably put it into one sentence. I say that I'm a unlicensed practitioner. One thing I might talk about that uses science and observation to identify malfunctions in the body and address them in a natural way. A little bit of a mouthful, right? I think for a lot of people, some of that terminology really doesn't make a lot of sense. I think we really have to take a little time to explain what we do. I've just found that to be the case. I think you're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to explain what you do specifically and the approach that you take. It's not going to be something I think you can maybe do in one sentence. Brenda, what about you? What do you think? Is that can you say what you do in one sentence, or is it something where it's good to have a little more of a conversation back and forth to get that clarified?
Yeah, I have kind of more recently really sort of locked down my kind of like tagline, but it doesn't really clarify, what I do, how I do it, or it's not enough to solidify that mutual agreement with a new client. So I really like to have a, you know, I have all my policies and stuff on waivers and, you know, on the website. And, you know, my big thing I always say and is printed on all my business material is, you know, the greatest medicine of all is teach people how not to need it. It's kind of my little tagline. And so I really like to reiterate that when I'm talking to the client and really help them understand a few very key things. Number one, no one is in control of your health but you. You know, I can't fix you. Your doctor can't fix you. You know, you have to fix yourself. You have to take ownership of your own health, period. Number two, I always like to tell people the word doctor is originally a Latin word that means to teach. So in my opinion, I think we should be teaching people how to get well naturally and stay well naturally rather than simply, you know, throwing pills at a situation to, be a symptom Band-Aid. And I really also to, you know, sometimes I'm not sure I necessarily recommend this, but I'll tell people I'm kind of like a functional medicine consultant. You know, I'm very transparent. I don't have a medical license. You know, it's not what I do, but I definitely will guide them through the process of what I might recommend for their health. But ultimately, again, it always just gets back to, like, we're here to educate them and, you know, be their health journey guide or, you know, spirit animal along the way. But, you know, as you can kind of see, like, you really just have to have that transparent, calm, genuine conversation. And if they get weird about it and they're acting weird about it, I don't mean weird in a derogatory way, you guys know what I mean, but if they're kind of squirmy or it doesn't seem like they get it, or, you know, I'd be really hesitant. You know, you don't, if they get it, they'll work with you and you won't have any issues. But that's kind of part of vetting out your clients. You don't just take everything that comes through the door. You know, you really have to make sure it is a good fit. But yeah, I definitely think you guys, you know, should and spend a good amount of time putting stuff on your website that speaks to it. My website needs a serious facelift, but you're all welcome to go to stalk it, check it out, see what kind of stuff I have listed on there. Once upon a time, Reed Davis, it's like a year and a half ago, I don't know. But Reed Davis wrote a very like eloquent description of what is FDN, you know, what is this FDN methodology. So I literally copied and pasted and quoted him on the whole thing on my about section of the website, and it's still up to this day. So, you know, you guys can copy and paste that too. It comes straight from the source, the captain himself. But, yeah, you want to do everything you can to set yourself up for, you know, a good client relationship and that mutual understanding so you don't have any problems with it.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Exactly. I agree with all of that for sure. And I think one thing you said there is, you know, sort of filtering people out. Nobody's good enough to bring on every single client that you talk to. Nobody is that good because that's not the purpose of those calls. It's not to persuade somebody or talk them into it. That's not what you want to do. You want somebody that's ready to go. Greece philosophically, the timing's right. They've got the support. They got the means to do it. They understand what you're going to do. They don't mind the commitment side of things. That's why we go through the 8 questions. So it's filtering out to say, hey, this is a good person. You don't want to take on everybody that comes to you necessarily. Not good for your business and probably not good for them either, because if you take somebody on at the wrong timing, they could get a really bad taste in their mouth about this approach to health. And I don't want to be the person that said, yeah, I worked with an FDN years ago, or yeah, my mom tried an alternative approach to things, and all they did was they wanted to push this or push that or this or that. I want to represent FDN and the greater community of natural folks and practitioners. That's what you should be doing. That's you signed an agreement really to do that when you became an FDN practitioner, is to represent and abide by certain codes and rules, especially with AFTMP, a code of ethics that we abide by. So We have a high bar to set, and that's something we all should take seriously. And you know, it's some people will inadvertently or carelessly give everybody else a black eye if we don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think this conversation we're having here, that onboarding call, and then what Rita talk about here, what next week I think on this. Listen to those things. Get that down, because it's awesome that you could interpret lab results and put a protocol together, but if you don't stay within your legal bounds, you can't talk about articulately about what you do and explain to somebody the value of what you do, you won't have a client to begin with. So there's no point in going further than that. So first things first, let's outline these things. So it's a very good question to write in, and I'm glad it was asked. And just kind of take it from there, and just you'll develop your sort of your own voice. You know, right now, just mimic and what's said in the course, especially what Reed has, especially on webinars, things like that. Parrot that for right now, and then you'll have your own terminology that you get into more, your exact voice, but still going to come back to what the fundamentals, what we talk about with FDN, how it's said, and again, within those legal bounds, right? Because it's not an adversarial relationship between us and the medical system. We want to be partners with doctors. So always be respectful to licensed practitioners 100% of the time. Even if your client goes down that route where they start to bash medicine or their experience, you know, validate what they've been through, acknowledge what they've been through. But at the same time, you know, explain to them that's how they work. That's what they're doing. They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. They're doing what they're trained to do. They're doing what they're required to do. But like Brendan said, take your health into your own hands. If that's what you want to do, then all right, you've got that option too, at least in this country.
Yeah, I really
cool.
I want to make a comment on that, because you're so right, Brandon, and you know, I think that's why a big part of why you and I get along so well is kind of our moral compass, and that's something I have a lot of strong thoughts and opinions about. Is, guys, let's make sure, you know, we're living with honor. You know, we're practicing FDN with honor. I feel like that's such a, you know, if you look historically at every great culture and society and civilization throughout history, the greatest civilizations all really had, you know, these valuable morals as a society, including honor and respect and everything. And I think a lot of these values are largely missing in the modern world, especially 21st century America. So as FDN practitioners, let's be the class acts. Let's lead with honor and respect. Always be impeccable with your words. Speak love and truth. Because nothing else is conducive to the greater goal of what we're trying to do. So it's not us versus them. There's no right or wrong. Let's, you know, we're trying to help people. So I don't know, just a little reiteration on that.
Well put. Good to put an exclamation point on the end of that. I think we could just end the call there. I'd be happy with that today. I'll leave on that note. That's very good.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's right. But we do have 15 minutes left. So, awesome. So I do have a hand raised here. So maybe this person wants to chime in on this too, or bring up something else, but we might come back around to this, because I know Brendan and I both feel passionate about this for sure. So we might come back around to it. We can do what we want to, right? It's all right. All right,
yeah.
Let's see who we got here. We've got area code 315. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, guys. My name is John.
Hey, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Brendan and Brandon, you guys are quite a pair.
Thanks.
Really, your chemistry shows over the airwaves. Question has to do with food sensitivity testing. I've had some experience using MRT, Vibrant Wellness, and several Cyrex tests on the same person, looking to try to get some in-depth insight. And I found value in all of them, consistency in none of them. I mean, very little consistency between them. And I really would like your thoughts and your experiences on these different tests. And I don't know if this is something you're ready to talk about right now, or something you'd like to come back to at another time. But, I understand what each of the tests are, and I know that the Vibrant Wellness and the Cyrex test are IgA and IgG. and the Cyric, the Vibrant test breaks them out so you can tell. I find that interesting and potentially valuable. The MRT test claims to be much more than that and more of a longer-term response, whereas the IgG and the IgA testing, according to the MRT folks, that can be more transient. What are your thoughts?
Good question. John, good to hear from you. I won't say your last name on air unless you want me to, but I know what John this is. So, man, good to hear from you. Glad you're still connected with us.
By the way,
that's cool.
My primary client that I work with and we work with together on is doing fabulously.
Oh, that's very good. I'm glad to hear that. Hope to see you in November at the conference.
Well, I'd love to be. Yeah, we're trying to work that out.
Gotcha. Hopefully so. So, well, good to hear from you. Well, I'll just second what you said here. This is really super concise statement. So you found value in all of them, but no consistency. I think that summarizes food sensitivity testing very, very well, for sure. So, yeah, and that really is almost the answer to your question, I feel like. I think they're all good. They're all measuring something that's valid that is helpful in the process. I'll speak to the MRT a little bit because I'm a little bit biased toward the MRT, but Brendan knows the Zoomers better than I do. So that's probably the two big, I think, ones out there that people are talking about the most. But I'll just say as far as clinical experience goes using the MRT, it's been a great test for me for almost 10 years now. Personally, professionally, with clients, it's a wonderful test. I've gotten great results using it and sometimes using it alone. Sometimes people come to me, they run only an MRT, and the only change we make is pulling out MRT foods. Like, I'm not even getting into anything else with some people sometimes. It's very rare. That's not how it typically works, but sometimes, you know, you have a situation where that maybe that's called for. And so by pulling out those foods and making some adjustments to diet, there can be, you know, miraculous major, major shifts. So I don't doubt the validity of that test and what it's picking up on. I know some people do and have some things to say about that. There's always going to be differing opinions. But the MRT, I like it because you do get, I think, a broad swath of different foods. It's looking at multiple immune pathways. If the goal is to pull stressors off of the body by removing certain foods the body is having some sort of reaction to that it does not like, then I think that the MRT is great for that. So you're going to be pulling stressors off. Now, exactly what impact that makes on the body, sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not so visible. I still think it's part of it. I think it's a valid thing to do. Now, there's also energetics testing, things like that. That's beyond, like, different than the blood testing, some of the biochemistry testing that we have there. That's another valid other way to look at things, too. I think the MRT has value. I think you are not wasting your client's money by running an MRT, unless, of course, there's some medications that might reduce the reactions, which would be with any of those. But I still stand behind the MRT as being a valuable test. That's my thought. But Brendan, maybe on the Zoomer, let's bring that in together with the Zoomer testing that's so popular right now.
Yeah, you know, I'd agree. I would also agree. I think food sensitivity testing, there is so much debate out there about it. But at the end of the day, there's definitely value in it. And at times, you can get what really seems to be like miraculous results. You know, you start eliminating some of the reactive foods. And, you know, for some people, it may be, you always have to question compliance, of course, but for some people, it's more subtle, but for some, it can really be very miraculous. I have seen good results from the MRT, although, yeah, the consistency or, oh, well, they're reactive to wheat on this test, but they're not reactive to wheat on the MRT, and it's just like, I mean, you know, you start comparing the technology of one lab to another lab, and it really is a mess, and it's not even unique to food sensitivity testing. It's, I think, just the state of lab testing in general can get kind of messy. The Zoomer test, you know, their claim to fame is being able to, you know, zoom into the peptide level. So, you know, they really like to feel that zooming in down to the peptide level is making their test more superior. And also, it doesn't matter if the food is raw versus cooked when you zoom in that level. I don't know if there are multiple food sensitivity tests. I don't think that test goes to the peptide level, but I could be mistaken. I know the Zoomers do, and that's why they're called Zoomers. But I don't know about their other one. But I also personally use the IgG test from Great Plains pretty regularly. I know some people, you know, say IgG is worthless, and but I mean, it's not. Anytime we can remove things that the immune system is reacting to, it's probably going to, you know, take a big burden, you know, off their bodies. So just a few thoughts there. Plus with IgG, I find it to be more consistent, to be honest. MRT seems kind of all over the place. Whereas IgG, generally, you're going to see the same foods coming back, but then they're just going to be less reactive. So I feel like it might be a little bit more consistent, but then some people say IgG, you know, doesn't matter. So a few thoughts there.
How about that for clarity, John?
Right. One of the things that I did find with the specifically with gluten cross reactivity with tapioca, and I found that with a Cyrex test, and that checked out with diet and made some dietary changes, so that correlated. The Vibrant Wellness test that didn't pick up, and nor did the MRT test find a sensitivity to tapioca. Yet the Cyrex test in the cross-reactivity category did. And the Vibrant Wellness food sensitivity panel, it does not go down to the peptide level. But one of the things I found from the Zoomer, the Vibrant Wellness Zoomer, the wheat Zoomer, was that my client was clearly getting into some gluten. And it turns out we found it in one of the supplements. And that made us go back and check every supplement from every company. And it was quite an interesting and time-consuming investigation. But that was a surprise, because the test showed clearly that all of the peptides of gluten were activated, every one, which meant she was definitely getting into gluten. And it was hidden in one of the supplements. So that's something to be cautioned and worried about, I believe. And you guys probably have had that experience as well.
Yeah, I think it's where something like the Zoomer would shine there. So if you still have, I guess my method, my way I usually talk about this is, I usually start it with, you know, well, you could start it with an elimination diet just in general, right? But use the MRT, start there, and see what results you get with everything else you're doing with FDN. And if you're not getting all the results that you want, then you have other options to look at different tests. That's why we have all those different food sensitivity tests, so you have options on this. So you can say, well, gluten didn't show up here in this test, but I still suspect that, then you go with the Zoomer.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's kind of what I backed into in terms of using these tests. And I was hoping that there was some magic formula that said under these conditions, A, B, and C, and so on. And I guess, as Reed says, you have to kind of read it and understand the test results and the client, and then play it all together and make judicious choices.
That, well, again, another really concise statement of what we do with FDN. Yes, the art and the science. I can see. I know your extensive science engineering background that you have there. So yeah, got to blend that all together. But it sounds like you're continuing to do good work. So appreciate the question, John. Good to hear from you.
Yes, good to hear from you guys. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good question. Great questions today. I think this has been a good question today. Good topics that we're hitting. I'm feeling good about this one here. So definitely one for people to go back and review, if I do say so myself. All right. Yeah. Well, 5 minutes left in the call today here. Boy, there was one question I wanted to talk about when it came to supplements and talk about it. Maybe we'll save that for next week or the week after. We'll talk a little more about the supplement side of things. There's always a lot of questions when it comes to supplementation. I wanted to get to that, but it doesn't look like we'll get to that today. I don't know, but before I jump into another question, Brendan, anything else kind of roll around in your head you wanted to talk about when it comes to anything we've covered so far today?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling my inner Zen hippie is really coming out strong today or something. I just kind of what we were saying earlier. And I always like saying we need always be practicing attitude of gratitude and kind of what I was saying earlier about respect and honor. I think Mercury retrograde has really messed us all up. It's been a weird month. I feel like I'm not going to, cite any specific examples because it's irrelevant to the moral truth, but let's just all make sure we're working together, loving one another, loving what we do to keep spreading our good message and all of that. The world is kind of crazy, and yeah, there's literally, different bodies that are setting up health coaches and then convicting them of stuff, or at least charging them with stuff like that IIN lady, we can either get all up in arms about it and fight the system in very warrior mindset, or we can really tap into that higher consciousness and let's practice unconditional love. Let's, what can we do? Well, you can only control your own actions in your own words, right? So let's make sure we're practicing that. Let's lead by example. Let's not allow ourselves and our community and our voice and our message and our mission to be tainted by the low level human frequency activity of drama and gossip and disrespect and, all of that. It's not conducive. Let's always just keep focusing on, the greater good of what we're trying to do. Super hippie, but just with a few minutes left and what's probably the best thing that we could kind of end on, I think that's really what we need to keep our eyes focused on.
I think that's a great way to go into the weekend. And if you know our founder, Reed Davis, he's a little bit scientist, he's a little bit hippie. So I think it's a good combination there. So I like it. I like it. So, all right. Well, Elizabeth, John, thanks for the call in there and people that wrote in the questions. And congratulations to our graduates. And, we'll be back next week. So tune in then. You guys have an awesome weekend. Brendan, brother, love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you, man. See you guys.